This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Hello, all you children of the stars, as Carl Sagan would say. Hope you enjoyed that Thanksgiving and thanked the cook. And by the way, that was Dan playing the piano, and that's Over the River and Through the Woods. And the reason that we like to play that this time of year is that the lyrics to that song were written by critic of religion, early feminist, Lydia Maria Child. And you can read more about Lydia Maria Child in the anthology that I edited, Women Without Superstition.
I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the November 30th, 2013 broadcast of Free Thought Radio, Free Thought Radio podcasts. And we also broadcast in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in College Station, Texas, other stations in central Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, in the Ithaca, New York area, and in Monterey, California.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and by the end of the year, we will have done 400 broadcasts since 2006. FFRF has two purposes: to keep religion out of government and to promote the views of non-theists.
Today, we're going to enjoy highlights of speeches at the recent National FFRF convention by the journalist and atheist Jamila Bey, formerly of National Public Radio, and also a talk by the first Richard and Beverly Hermson Student Activist Award winner, Zach Coplin.
Before we listen to Jamila and Zach, I don't know about you, but I had a very odd feeling when news stories earlier this month reported that about 8.8 billion stars in our galaxy have planets that are nearly the size of Earth and may have conditions conducive to the development of life. In fact, a study by astronomers from the University of California, Berkeley and University of Hawaii, analyzing results from NASA's Kepler spacecraft, reported there might be 40 billion planets like Earth throughout the Milky Way system, and incredibly, the nearest planet might be only 12 light years away, a star visible to our naked eye. Most of them are probably rocky outposts, but some might have water like the Earth.
Well, that's just our Milky Way galaxy alone. If you consider that there are billions of other galaxies out there, some much larger than the Milky Way, we're talking about a huge number. Well, I actually asked the astrophysicist Vic Stenger, who we've had on our show before, I asked him about this, and he said the estimate of Earth-like planets in the known universe is something like 5 million billion billion, or another way to say that is 5 sextillion potentially habitable planets in our known universe.
So 5 sextillion? How big is that?
That's a big number. One way to picture a number that big is to think how many ants there are on the planet Earth. There's a lot of ants. The number of ants on the planet are counted in the quadrillions. Well, if you had 5 million Earths with that many ants, that's the number of possible habitable planets there are in our known universe.
And this reminds me of a few lines of a poem by that atheist poet, Percy Shelley, who was brilliant but died at age 25. Did Shelley die at 25? I might be mixing him up. Anyway, I first read these lines in something by that great 20th century agnostic rationalist writer, Bertrand Russell, very prescient in terms of physics and astronomy. Shelley wrote, "Worlds on worlds are rolling ever from creation to decay, like the bubbles on a river, sparkling, bursting, borne away."
On a less happy note, maybe, scientists continue to speculate about how we may have gone in and out of Big Bangs, and there's even an extremely remote chance that the Large Hadron Particle Collider could even trigger another Big Bang.
So if that happened, we wouldn't know it. We would disappear in less than a billionth of a second, and that makes you think. And all of that made me think of Shelley Siegel's wistful ode to Christopher Hitchens' Apocalypse Love Song. And that song starts out, "One day the sun is going to die, just one less star in the sky."
One day the sun is going to die. For us it means no more sunsets to the universe, just one less star in the sky. And almost all who ever lived have already died. Countless stories of love and war and hope and pain now silent play side by side. Yes, I understand that my whole life is just a blink of an eye in the history of the earth. It's with each moment that goes by, but this moment that I am with you, it feels like time has stood still. It feels somehow like it mattered, but it always will. In 1 billion years, oceans will dry, while somehow life may continue, it will not be known to you and I. To think we are so important is an obvious crime. We know that we are specks on a tiny dot.
My whole life is just a blink of an eye. That was Shelley Siegel's apocalyptic love song from her album, The Atheist Album.
Now, Free Thought Laureate poet Philip Appleman has a new book coming out soon called The Labyrinth, God, Darwin, and the Meaning of Life that I was honored to write a blurb for. And Dan, why don't you read Philip Appleman's take on this?
Doomed to extinction, our loves, our work, our friendships, our tastes are all painfully precious. We look about us on the streets and in the subways and discover that we are beautiful because we are mortal. Priceless because we are so rare in the universe and so fleeting. Whatever we are, whatever we make of ourselves, that's all we will ever have. And that, in its profound simplicity, is the meaning of life. Doomed to extinction, our loves, our work, our friendships, our tastes are all painfully precious. We look about us on the streets and in the subways and discover that we are beautiful because we are mortal, priceless because we are so rare in the universe and so fleeting. Whatever we are, whatever we make of ourselves, that is all we will ever have, and that, in its profound simplicity, is the meaning of life.
Words of Philip Appleman. Look for his poetry column in every issue of Free Thought today, and coming up, radio host Jamila Bey will talk about sex, politics, and religion.
And then the David and Goliath saga of a 20-year-old young man who's taking on the entire Louisiana legislature to overturn creationism law.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and we are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Now, let's listen to a highlight of Jamila Bey's address to the 36th Annual National FFRF Convention held here in Madison, Wisconsin at the end of September. Jamila Bey is a journalist, and she hosts the weekly radio show, The Sex, Politics, and Religion Hour, SPAR with Jamila.
Jamila Bey worked with NPR for a decade, assisting with The Morning Edition, All Things Considered, among other shows, and is working on a book that critically examines the role religion plays in the lives of African-American women.
Thank you one and all for coming. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for showing up and showing up the fact that, you know what, we heathen people exist, we enjoy community, and we come together. I'm Jamila Bey, and I am a journalist and reporter and a radio show host in Washington, D.C. I have been a hellraiser since before I was allowed to cross the street by myself. And as a journalist, I really take issue with the fact that, frankly, in this modern era, reporters are people who like to be on television talking in this weird voice, flipping their helmet hair, and asking questions that a really smart 22-year-old intern has written for them. There's not much critical thought, Katie, to what they do. They don't understand history, and they certainly don't understand science. They don't understand politics, yet they're informing our population. So my show, The Sex, Politics, and Religion Hour, SPAR with Jamila, is on AM radio in Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago on HD2, and Miami on HD2 radio. And after January, my network, the Voice of Russia Radio, is going to broadcast me in English to 166 different countries. I'm really excited about that. Because voices like mine were not heard for way too long, and you ain't gonna shut me up. You know, I have a problem with the fact that anytime people who look as I do are represented widely, or when you need an expert, you go to the reverends. And this is what they do, pointing to the reverends. Reverend, you're here to talk about biblical marriage. What is the Bible's position on polygamy?
I'm here to talk about one man, one woman.
Tell me about Abraham's marriage. He's in the Bible.
Would someone have this woman removed?
You know, and I'm looking around like, baby, you in my house. You know, the press club is my natural habitat. You know, I throw people out of the press club, not you. You're going to throw me out of the press club for committing journalism. How dare some girl challenge me? Well, get used to it. When I was little, the only thing I wanted to be in, damn Penny Marshall and Tom Hanks for taking it from me, because I was going to make a movie called Big. I just wanted to be big enough where I could stand up and say what I wanted to say, and nobody could say, oh, sit down, little girl. Oh, you're just a child. The minute I hit 18, I was like, yes, it's happened. I can say what I want. And that's what I've really been working to do. I am a student of this great American experiment, and I understand that the narrative in the modern era is wrong. We got it right. This is a nation formed in secular ideals. This is a nation where everyone is valued, but we have to be able to go to the public square and put forth our ideas. Ideas that are supported live, the ones that aren't die. At least that's the way it was supposed to be. The problem is, you know, the problem and the opportunity is that in this modern era, anybody can get up and say anything. And if you have money behind you, your money equals speech. And I've got a problem with that. I've got a huge, huge problem with that. So I do my little show, and I have awesome people on my little show, and I do it because we need better language sometimes. I was called to it. It is my obligation as an American to try my damnedest to advance the principles upon which this great nation was founded. Look, I understand we're not perfect, and I can give you a whole lot of reasons I take issue with those founders, Mr. Jefferson much. But leaving the baby in the bathwater is also an important thing. Growing up in the family that I had, where girls were supposed to be quiet, and you weren't supposed to be too smart, you were supposed to know your place. Don't you question me. I got that a lot. Don't you question me. I said, well, then somebody else can answer, but I have a question and I'm going to ask it. So I get to be loud and obnoxious and cheeky, and I have the coolest job in the world, but I need some help from smart folks like you. I need you to go back to your respective hamlets and townships and big cities. And I need you, when you see reporting like we saw earlier, I need you to call up those stations. I need you to call up those news directors. I need you to write letters to the editor and say, there's a university here. Why didn't you ask anyone from the biology department if this is true? Look, there are other people who've gone to that school. I'm a graduate, and I think it's good that the banner of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ isn't right there where everybody's got to see it. They have Facebook pages. They have Twitter pages. You need to make your voices heard. And I'm not the only one doing this. There are a lot of wonderful, wonderful journalists and hosts. But we've all got to take responsibility for this democracy in which we live. We've all got to raise our voices. We have to do a better job, each of us. We're doing a lot, but we are outnumbered at the moment. However, you know, I love to point out, we own the internet. These folks under 30, they are less inclined to be religious. They are more inclined to be pro same gender marriage. But the beauty of this is that we can see what the future holds, and it holds a lot of people willing to say, bull. No, I don't care. I'm turning you off. And I'm going to surround myself by people who aren't hateful, by people who understand the way things are. I'm really excited that we have a legislator here. We need to take a page out of that Christian Right handbook. We need to be running candidates. We need people to get in there at those town halls and wear our flair, wear our t-shirts. You know, I am secular and I vote. That's an important one. We need to be asking the questions of our politicians. Today, we recognize what will happen if we continue to be silent, if we continue to be hidden. And we are coming forth, we are demanding our place in this country, in this democracy. And I need to see us on more news programs. I need to see us on more editorial pages, and I certainly need to see more of us, you know, having lunch at various places, wearing shirts. I love the shirts. Please buy some shirts. Wear them. They're great. I am delighted to be here, FFRF is doing some amazing work, and it's getting noticed, and it's improving this country. And I just am honored that you had me here today. Thank you very much. Okay.
And that was the speaker, Jamila Bey. You can watch a video of her speech, or you can listen to audios of all the speeches from most of the speakers of the last FFRF convention. Go to FFRF.org/outreach/convention and look for the links there.
For the convention 2013 links, and you'll find the speakers page with their videos and audio links. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Coming up, the epic fight of 20-year-old student Zach Coplin against creationism in his home state of Louisiana. Welcome back to Radio as Godless as Our Constitution. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
Zach Coplin is a science and education activist who has appeared on The Bill Moyers Show. He received the Freedom From Religion Foundation's first Richard and Beverly Hermson Student Activist Award of $5,000 for his work to repeal a stealth creationism law in his home state of Louisiana. His effort has been endorsed by 43 Nobel laureates and many other scientists and education experts. He persuaded the New Orleans City Council to vote unanimously to support the repeal of the Louisiana Science Education Act of 2008. Zach Coplin fights to keep creationism out of public schools. He focuses on separation of church and state causes. He's also been involved in school vouchers, science curriculum, and textbook policy. Coplin, who is 20 years old, is currently a history student at Rice University in Houston.
And we're going to hear major excerpts of Zach's speech from the recent Freedom From Religion Foundation convention, the 36th Annual Convention in Madison, Wisconsin. And you can watch Zach's entire speech at FFRF.org/outreach/convention and look for Convention 2013 links there.
Thank you all so much for having me here and having me talk, and thank you all so much for the award. It's a huge, huge honor. I just want to tell you a little bit about my home state, Louisiana, and some of the problems we have with creationism. So we're addicted to creationism, and our state really, it made a big splash in 1987 with the Edwards versus Aguilar case. Some of y'all may know about it. That case overturned the teaching of creation science. And you'd think one big Supreme Court case would be enough to break Louisiana's creationism addiction. You'd think we wouldn't do it again. And then 2008, Governor Bobby Jindal had just been elected, and we passed another creationism law. And so we have the Louisiana Science Education Act. It sounds really nice, right? Everyone likes science education. And so this law, it's a really clever law. It never once mentions creationism or its offshoot, intelligent design, which is also unconstitutional, as many of you I'm sure know. That was ruled unconstitutional in 2005 at the Kitzmiller versus Dover trial. Instead, this law just allows critiques of evolution using supplemental materials to promote critical thinking. Because again, everyone wants critical thinking, right? And so the problem is there's no need to critique evolution in a public school science classroom. It's not controversial. And the only reason to critique it, the only reason to have a law to promote critical thinking is not to promote critical thinking. You don't need critical thinking to be passed by law. That's sort of the nature of science class. You only need this law when you want to sneak non-science into the science classroom. And that's exactly what this law does. Because if the weasel language wasn't clear, the backers of this law were, they're all creationists. It's the focus on the family's local affiliate in Louisiana, the Louisiana Family Forum. What is the Louisiana Family Forum doing promoting a science education law? What do they have to do with science education? How about the teachers or the scientists, not the focus on the family group? Or the Discovery Institute, a national creationist think tank which is involved with drafting all these type of laws and trying to pass them around the country? or you could just listen to the sponsor of the law, Senator Ben Nevers, a Louisiana legislator who sponsored this law, said it was to have creation taught wherever Darwin's theory was taught. So if we just cut everything else out and leave that, it's pretty clear what it's for. Or Governor Bobby Jindal, who said on NBC's Education Nation, we have what's called the Science Education Act that says if a teacher wants to supplement these materials, if the school board's okay with that, if the state school board's okay with that, they can supplement these materials. I've got no problem if a local school board says we want to teach our kids about creationism, that some people have these beliefs as well. Let's teach them about intelligent design. He wanted to ask, what are we afraid of? And so, by the way, the Discovery Institute, when Jindal said that, said he was very, very confused and didn't understand his own law. I don't think Bobby Jindal is very confused about the law he signed. I think he meant exactly what it says, and it's a creationism law, and that's wrong. And so when this law was being implemented in Louisiana, our State Board of Education originally drafted rules that prevented the creationists from teaching creationism in the classroom. They went berserk and had those scrapped. And the real problem with this is creationism just isn't science. It's not testable. You can't repeat those tests. There's no conditions that would make it false. Evolution, on the other hand, is real science, is strong science, is supported by all the evidence, and belongs in a science classroom. And if we don't teach our kids evolution, then we're going to harm them in all their future scientific endeavors. Because if we suddenly say that the scientific method applies to all science but evolution, it won't make sense to the kids. And we say, well, why doesn't the scientific method apply to physics or chemistry? Does it apply at all? And or just can we ignore it and make science whatever we want and have a controversy over everything? If we don't teach kids about the nature of science, it will confuse them in all their science. On top of this, this law also threatens science like climate change. This isn't just about evolution. The law highlights climate change, evolution, human cloning, and the origin of life. These are the things that have been added into these laws that are issues to the religious right that need to be targeted by them. And this is also, we get made fun of a lot in Louisiana. We get called the stupid state. People say we're the ones who are the creationists. That's not true. This isn't just a Louisiana problem. This is a problem all over the country. From Texas to Oklahoma to even New Hampshire, we've seen creationism laws introduced in New Hampshire. So this isn't just a Southern or Louisiana problem. It's all across the country. But I just mentioned Texas, and Texas has a pretty big problem. So this year, we're adopting new biology textbooks in Texas. And I live in Texas right now, in Houston. And so because it's Texas, the creationists are up in arms about biology textbooks that teach evolution. And because it's Texas, the State Board of Education has a number of creationists on it. So the State Board appointed experts to review the biology textbooks and offer recommendations to the publishers, these textbook publishers, expert recommendations of how they should revise their books in case they miss any errors. And so the purpose of this is, so if the textbook publisher made a small mistake, you have this group of educators go through it and catch it and help edit that. The problem with that is they have to be experts. And so we've appointed a bunch of non-experts who are fellows at the Discovery Institute and part of the Creation Science Hall of Fame to review the biology textbooks. And when you appoint people who are in the Creation Science Hall of Fame to review evolution, you get things like the creation model based on biblical principles should be included in every textbook, or there are no transitional fossils. And so those recommendations got sent to publishers of how we should edit our textbooks. We don't know what the publishers will do with this. We haven't seen that yet. Before the publishers got to the books, or before the reviewers got to the books, they were quite good. Now, we hope the publishers won't bend, and we will be able to convince the State Board to adopt these science textbooks as they are. And so that's what we're fighting right now. Of course, the other side came out in full force. We had one person come to the hearing last week and testify that they wanted biblical truth in all the textbooks. And so they were, that's the thing I've noticed is in Louisiana, they're very clever. They try and disguise it behind critical thinking. In Texas, they're out with biblical truth and just put biblical truth in there. And so we need to stand up to this. We're standing up to it in Louisiana. We're standing up to it in Texas. And we need to stand up to it all across the country. And that's what I've been doing. When I was a senior in high school, I began a campaign against the Louisiana Science Education Act. And so this law passed in 2008 when I was a sophomore. And I was waiting. And I would talk to my friends. I wrote a class essay about it. But I was waiting for an adult to really step up and fight it, because I assumed someone would. It was always really silly to me. We had this law. It was wrong. It was clearly wrong, and someone needed to fight it. And I waited a year, and no one stood up publicly. I waited another year, and no one was standing up publicly. And at that point, I was about to graduate. I had a year left. I didn't know if I was going to stay in state. I was never going to be a high school student again. I didn't know if I'd ever have the real credibility to take on this law the way I did now. And so I realized I had a voice and I had a moral responsibility to use it. And I began a campaign to repeal the Louisiana Science Education Act. So the first step for me was to find a mentor. And some of you may have heard of Dr. Barbara Forrest, who was an expert witness at the Kitzmiller trial, pretty much responsible for destroying intelligent design and proving that it was creationism. Luckily for me, lives 25 minutes away from where I grew up in Baton Rouge. And so I sent her an email on a whim when I was a senior in high school saying, hey, I know this law is wrong. I know this is basically what you're famous for fighting. Would you be willing to help me start a repeal? And I never really expected a response back. And the next day, I got one. And she said, sure, go ahead. Let's have a meeting and let's get started on this. And so I began working with her. And the next step for us was to find a sponsor. So the bad news is that it passed unanimously in our state Senate and with only 3 votes against it in our state House, which left us with a pretty clear idea of which legislators were brave enough to stand up and who would sponsor something for us. And so one of them, Senator Karen Carter Peterson, she had been in the House when the law passed and had moved to the Senate afterwards, was quite willing. I sent her an email. She met with me, and I was explaining to her why the law was bad. She just stopped me and said, look, it's a bad law. When do we get started? And so we went from there. The first year, we got dozens of Nobel laureates on board, major science organizations, tens of thousands of people, clergy members, scientists, teachers, students, businessmen, brought them all on board. We just didn't get the Louisiana legislature on board. And we lost 5-1 in the Senate Education Committee that year. The next year, we went in there, and we made a small improvement. Instead of having 5 people vote against us, only 2 did. And we lost 2-1 that year. And each year, there's a new celebrity. And so the next year was Senator Mike Walsworth. And he did not believe that that evolution could be happening because he had never seen an E. coli turn into a person in front of his eyes. And so it became very clear from the longer he talked that he didn't just know nothing. He knew nothing about evolution. He also knew nothing about science in general. And the next year he would tell us, well, they skipped that chapter in class. I just think he skipped all of science. And the third year, this last year, this spring, we improved again. We didn't win. We lost 3-2 in committee. But we finally pulled a second vote on our side. And the newest legislator was the one who wanted the law kept because he really wouldn't want to keep witch doctors out of the science classroom. And so that's where we are.
And that is Zach Copland speaking at FFRF's convention in Madison, Wisconsin this last September. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
After the break, we will hear the rest of Zach Copland's talk. So stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie, and we're continuing to hear the presentation of Premier Richard and Beverly Hermsen Student Activist Awardee Zach Copland.
And so you would think after that they'd done all the damage they could do to science education in Louisiana. You would think. Except a year ago, last spring, Governor Jindal passed a school voucher program. And so this program's been beset with problems. It had its funding declared unconstitutional. It had schools that couldn't spell scholarship. It had schools that didn't meet fire code and were run by felons who had to be removed. Schools who couldn't pass financial audits. By the way, these schools were all mixing their church money with their voucher money, which is not allowed. And the only 2 schools actually completed their financial audit, and one of those schools was removed for financial improprieties. And so the state is claiming, since none of the schools actually completed their financial audit, then there's no issue. It's sort of twisted logic. There's schools charging more based on what religion you have. There's schools that discriminate based on religion and sexual orientation. Anyway, so this program is bad in a lot of ways, but my issue is creationism. And so, to no one's surprise, these schools are teaching creationism. We've got at least 20 that were originally slated for about $10, $11 million and 1,500 students. And at least 20 schools, probably far more, but 20 schools who put on their website things like scientists are sinful men, schools that mandated defending creationism against traditional scientific theory in their student handbook. That was another school. And so these are the schools that didn't have the brains beforehand to take anything that might have caused them problems off their website before they applied for public money. And there's probably far more schools in this program that teach creationism, and we're clever enough to just not advertise. We use a Beka book, which says that dragons lived with humans or whatever, on their website. And so this isn't just, again, this isn't just a Louisiana problem. We've got schools, we've got a list of over 300 schools now in 9 states and Washington, D.C., that are voucher schools that receive public money, potentially as much as hundreds of millions in public money, to teach kids creationism. And you've got schools like the ones in Florida, which call evolution the way of the heathen, or there's a couple in Indiana. These are my favorite. Indiana is close enough to Kentucky with the Creation Museum that some of these schools can take their kids on class field trips to the Creation Museum. And these schools are getting public money. And so Mother Jones, a while back, picked out the 14 craziest lessons from some of these creationist textbooks that were being used. And so my favorite was the textbook that claimed dragons were real, they were dinos, they lived with humans, and they breathed fire through chemical glands in their nose. And veering away from creationism, one of these curriculums, the Accelerated Christian Education one, even claimed the KKK was a moral institution. So they just, I mean, it's sort of hard to pick out the problems with these. And I'll mention another thing. Like, there's a great expose in the Miami New Times from 2011 about Florida's program, which has about 160-plus creationist voucher schools that we know of, probably a lot more. They also expose that some of the administrators were convicted kidnappers and cocaine dealers. So, again, these programs sound like a great idea altogether, right? And so, despite all our progress fighting the creationism law in Louisiana, fighting all these laws, we still have a long, long way to go. And people always ask, why are you fighting this? Because you lost in Louisiana, you lost 5-1, you lost 2-1, you lost 3-2, you still lost, and you're going to keep losing as long as you have this generation of politicians who don't care about science. And so, why bother? And that's the question I get. Why bother with this? Why do you even care? Why is it worth your time? And it really, for me, it's about a scientific revolution. We need a new one. The last one we had was in the 60s when we went to the moon. And there's real problems we face today, from superbugs to potential that we could be hit by an asteroid even. And we there are things we have to worry about to climate change. That's the biggest one. Our climate is changing. There's something. It's changing because of human activity. That's indisputable. But even if you don't think human activity is causing it, it's still changing, and we have to do something about it. And so that's one thing I see. The second thing is we're already at 400 parts per million of carbon in our atmosphere. We need to do something beyond changing our behavior, and that's where I see science coming in. But the problem is, you won't have a smart student from Louisiana coming in and solving our issues with climate change if you teach them that it doesn't exist. If we don't educate our students, if we don't teach them that it's happening, that evolution is real, we won't be able to figure out how to deal with superbugs. Because if evolution is real, how do superbugs exist? And so we have to teach the science, and that's why we fight, because it really depends on our future. And my favorite quote comes from President John F. Kennedy. He gave it at Rice at my school before he set us on our path to the moon. And he said, "We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they're easy, but because they're hard, because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win. It's the same thing today. It may be hard, maybe a long fight, we may not even see where we're going right now, but it's when we have to win this fight, because our future really depends on it. And this isn't just about science education, too. Y'all have seen the recent budget sequester that just cut $80 billion from science funding in the next decade. That devastating doesn't even describe that. So these are the two fundamental issues I see: funding and teaching. And we have to stand up, speak out, and say science is our future. Science is how we'll cure cancer, AIDS, how we'll go to Mars, how we'll do all these things. And if we don't care about it, if we keep in our current path, then it's the wrong path, and we need to fight that. And so I hope you all will join me.
You can watch Zach's entire speech at fffref.org/outreach/convention. Look for the Convention 2013 speaker link. Next year's FFRF convention will be the weekend of October 24th and 25th, 2014, at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel, Los Angeles. Mark your calendar now.
So our show is over. Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering Free Thought Radio. If you want to know more about Free Thought Radio, go to ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org. Join us at ffrf.org. The November issue is available, December coming out. Phone 1-800-335-4021 if you want a sample of our Free Thought Today newspaper. You can support FFRF's important state church litigation and become part of the nation's largest Free Thought Association in North America. We have a building expansion going on. We have 12 lawsuits. We have 5 staff attorneys to support. So we'd really appreciate your support. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.